Hey, everybody, what's going on? It's Tuesday? Yeah. I think, okay.
You don't know?
I wasn't sure for a second. Yeah. I had to think about it. You'd think that I would know by now because I have to keep track of like all the days for the shows and everything, but sometimes I forget like at the end of the day. So, yeah.
Return to Salem's Lot.
Okay. So, this was my fault. I'll take the blame for this one. Yeah. What ended up happening is that I think I was scrolling through Shudder last night because I was like, well, you know, we need a movie to talk about on the thing. And it's just kind of like, I said, I'm kind of tired, so I don't want anything really long and I don't want anything like really complicated or heavy or anything like that. So I said, I just kind of want something kind of fun and dumb and shit like that. So I was scrolling through Shudder and they had the original Salem's Lot, which we've already talked about. And then I thought to myself, oh shit, I think over on HBO Max or Amazon Prime or something like that, I said, oh, they have Return to Salem's Lot, which I don't think I've ever seen, and I don't really ever see anybody talking about it. So I said, well, let's have a look at that and see what that's all about. And then, like, when we started watching it, I realized that it had been written and directed by Larry Cohen, for Christ's sake, which I didn't even know. Who did Cue the Winged Serpent, It's Alive, The Stuff, he did all that kind of, God Told Me To. So he did all of those movies, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay, you know, this should be an interesting, oh, and Michael Moriarty is in it, who was also in The Stuff and was in a bunch of other movies. It's not great, not great.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say.
What's funny about this movie is that it had a lot of good ideas.
It did.
Execution was kind of mediocre. Acting was mediocre.
What a strange fucking movie this is. It's so weird. Like, the more I think about it, like, the fucking weird. It's, like, so fucking weird. I don't get it.
One thing that's good about it is that it adds a lot to, like, vampire lore. It's like, what would happen if you met vampires and they liked you, and then they wanted you to work for them, and they owned a whole town? What would that be like? And then, what kind of deals would they try to make with you? It's a movie kind of like that. And at the end, there's a big payoff where it's just like Vampire Kill Fest fucking 1989. Or what is this?
87. Yeah.
And so it does try to pay off in the end. Does it pay off? Kinda. No.
He was trying to be charitable. Oh, it kind of. Okay, no. No, it doesn't.
The problem with the movie is that it was, most of the characters were boring. There wasn't any compelling characters.
They were either boring or they were assholes and unlikable.
Yeah.
But not interesting assholes.
Right. The movie picks up when the Jewish guy shows up.
Yeah, that's the best character.
Yeah, you think he's looking for the vampires. He's actually looking for escaped Nazis, all right? And he says, are you a Nazi hunter? And he goes, no, I'm a Nazi killer. You know, and he's just this old dude fucking running around fucking killing, and he's killed a bunch of Nazis, and he's got their guns, and it's kind of wild. And he's the kind of like the comedic relief in some ways, but he's also, he also keeps a story kind of moving along. He makes funny comments. Now, they get kind of tiresome. The script is not real. You know, it's not great, the dialogue. But really, that's the only character in this whole movie that stands out.
Yeah, he's easily the best character.
Yeah, the rest of the characters are just kind of bland. And the vampires are very bland. Even the vampire lord, the one that runs the place, he's just not very interesting. He's not an interesting character or an interesting guy. The guy that they have playing him, I think, is just too old and too kind of conservative feeling, you know? Kind of feels like he should be selling you some Pepperidge Farms or something. Yeah.
Pepperidge Farm?
Yeah, yeah, he's like one of those. So he doesn't make a very good vampire. And then when you see his true form, he doesn't look as good as fucking, as Mr. Barlow.
That's quite an understatement you just made there, Tom. He doesn't look, I mean, the it's just a rubber mask, essentially. Yeah. I think it's got some, not prosthetics, but, like, I think the eyes move around and shit like that, but it's very rubbery looking.
Yeah.
It's
just, I'm like, And then what's funny is that on the cover, they got Mr. Barlow on the cover of this movie.
Yeah, see, that's a little bit of a bait and switch there. Like, I was going to take an issue with that, because they are, well, honestly, the cover for Return to Salem's Lot looks almost like the cover for the original TV miniseries Salem's Lot.
Yeah, it's tweaked though, isn't it?
But they tweaked it a little bit, but it looks almost exactly the same. It's the same color scheme. Like I said, they got Barlow on there a little bit and stuff like that, but the movie doesn't really have anything to do with the first movie. There's literally like no continuity with it. No. There are no repeated characters.
Nope. It's a totally different movie, really. They just set it in Salem's Lot, and they didn't have to. This was a generic vampire movie, basically.
Well, I think that it started out like that. Okay, because what ended up happening was that Larry Cohen, originally, back when they made the Salem's Lot adaptation for TV that Tobe Hooper ended up directing, Larry Cohen wrote a script for that. And I think he was supposed to direct it, but then Warner Brothers, whoever the hell it was that made it, they rejected his script. So I think he just retooled it later on, and like Warner Brothers came and said, hey, we're going to do like a cheap jack cash grab Salem's Lot, you know, sequel. Do you want to do it? And he was like, yeah, sure. I got like this story laying around. So he just kind of like tweaked it into being more Salem's Lot-y, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think it initially started out as a Salem's Lot story. Now, the thing about it, like you said, there are some good ideas in here, and there are actually some ideas in here that would actually turn up, like, in shit later on, like True Blood, like the True Blood series, where it was just kind of like, but the thing is, like I said, there's no continuity, because in the first movie, right, and in the book, Salem's Lot is just like a regular ass town, right? But then there's like the Marston House, which is haunted or whatever, but then like Barlow and his little thrall guy, like, they come there, right? And they just, like, move into this house. So, but in this iteration, the backstory is that Salem's Lot has been entirely populated by vampires since, like, Pilgrim days. Like, they came over
on that wouldn't work, would it?
The Mayflower. Yeah. Or not the Mayflower, but the boat before the Mayflower that crashed, or whatever it was. They have, like, some... I was kind of, like, dozing off because I was really tired.
Pseudo-history bullshit.
Yeah, they had some pseudo-history, and they're like, okay, well, we've been in this town for, like, 300 years. So I was like, well, that doesn't even make any sense with the first one, because there weren't... The vampire came there.
Well, they said they had drones who were humans that they raised to run the storefronts to make it look like a human town, but it still wouldn't have worked. That wouldn't have worked with the first one. There were too many humans in there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And it's just like they're all, you know, and nobody's just like, hey, town's full of vampires, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not, nobody knew that. So it did, there was no continuity with it, which, and like I said, they don't bring up Mr. Barlow. They don't, like I said, the whole thing is that, and the weird thing about it is that the vampires, even though they're ostensibly the bad guys, their whole thing in the movie is that they want to maybe, like, integrate in with, or they want, like, humans to, like, understand them, like, as a race.
They're drinking cow blood.
So they're actually drinking cow blood. Yeah. Now, they will drink human blood, like, on special occasions, like, if it's someone's birthday or something like that, then they'll be like, all right, just have a busload of kids, or, you know what I mean, to drink all their blood, it's fine. But normally, they just, like, take a little bit of blood from cows, and... Initially, I think the reason that they want to talk to Michael Moriarty's character, who's an anthropologist, is they essentially want him to write their Bible. I'm not really sure what the end goal of that is.
It didn't make any sense.
Well, because if they were vampires and they were, like, afraid that humans... Because if you found that there was, like, a small town somewhere, just, you know, for example, that was full of vampires, you would think that, like, humans would be like, yeah, we need to go in there and, like, wipe that shit out. So I don't really know...
I don't see how the Bible would have helped him, but that was just part of the movie. You know what I mean? It just, it did have some good ideas. They just weren't executed very well. You can kiss all that good acting and all that gravitas of the first one goodbye. That's not there. This is more like an action movie in a way. Like a suspense action, cheap jack action movie. You know, this is like on par with like, oh shit. When I was watching it, it was reminding me of other movies from that time. All bad movies. Almost kind of like, well, it wasn't even as good as Basket Case.
No.
No.
I actually love Basket Case.
It's just kind of, Basket Case kind of had a different, it kind of had a cheap look to it, but it was fun. It was also kind of, it was gross. It had a good story. It's just, don't see it.
I mean,
don't see it.
Well, I kind of feel like I said, there's kind of like two good ideas in here.
Yeah.
There's a good idea about a town, like a town that's secretly full of vampires.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we just want everybody to understand us. And they have a human in there to like write their body. That's a cool idea. I'm not saying that's not a cool idea. That's a cool idea. You can make a movie out of that. But then like halfway through, when you have the best character, like the Nazi killer guy show up. That's kind of a whole other movie in itself.
Yeah,
because
it
it's like, I kind of like the idea of here's this guy who's a Nazi killer and he ends up in this town looking for a runaway Nazi and it ends up that dude is a vampire.
Yeah.
Like, that's also a good idea for a movie. But don't put them in the same movie. It just, it was just seemed like it was kind of all over the place. And the thing about the movie, too, is that, I mean, the original Salem's Lot, the adaptation of it was like creepy. You know what I mean? It was like,
this is not creepy.
This is not scary at all. Yeah. I kind of feel like, well, Larry Cohen, his kind of thing is he likes a lot of like dark comedy and stuff. And there's some of it in this and some of it works. Like I said, the Nazi killer guy is like the best character and he has some good lines and like some good situations. But other than that, and I did kind of laugh at like the old lady saying that she preferred human blood over cow blood. And she's like, oh, my husband says I have a drinking problem. Like, I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, to me,
most of the jokes were just kind of like really lame. But I don't know. The tone of this was very, very strange. It was very strange. And the weird thing about it, so they start out at the beginning, Michael Moriarty's character, I can't even remember what their character names are, so I'm just calling them like what the actor names are. Michael Moriarty's character is, at the beginning, he's in like a cannibal Holocaust kind of situation, because I guess he's an anthropologist, and he's filming a human sacrifice with like some of the whitest natives I've ever seen, right? Like whatever, I don't remember what country was he supposed to be in?
That was in Florida.
Well, I know that.
Yeah.
I know it was Florida. But it's like, I don't know what country it was supposed to be, is what I'm saying. So he's like filming a sacrifice and he's just like, oh, neat, you know? And like his buddy or whatever is like, man, you were one cold-blooded son of a bitch or something like that. So while he's doing all this business, like he gets called back to the United States by his ex-wife, who's actually played by Nancy's mom from the original Nightmare on Elm Street. She's only in one scene, so don't get too excited. But so basically she's like, oh my God, something's wrong with our son. You have to come back to the U.S. right away. So he comes back, but it turns out that nothing's actually wrong with the son. Like he didn't, you know, fucking lose an arm in a thresher or anything like that. But he's just an asshole and the mom is like sick of dealing with him.
Kid's
and
an so asshole through the whole movie.
They've decided they're going to pawn him off on the dad. And Jeremy, I saw that I was reading a review of this earlier that just called him annoying Jeremy, like with both capital letters. The kid looks like baby Don Johnson from Miami Vice.
Yeah, with his little fucking
with his pastel
fucking
colored.
Yeah, his little fucking
it made me want to punch him in the dick.
His little Sperry Dock Sider shoes and those socks and shit. Fucking my mom was always trying to dress me in that shit.
I know, he said that while we were watching.
God damn, I hate that shit. Fucking
it's
when your
so
mom
ugly.
Tries to
it's
dress
so
you.
Ugly.
Fucking terrible.
It's so ugly.
Terrible. Oh, you should put those are so cute. Put some slack. Look at the fuck out of here.
I'm not wearing that shit, mom.
Wearing that
God
stupid
it.
Shit.
But well, and this movie right here is exactly why, because this kid looks like a total douche nozzle.
Look at
like
a total fucking douche
throughout the whole thing. And he's really kind of like, now the thing about it is like, he's really annoying and everything, but I will say, because I'm always like really amused by kids, he's not really a kid. He's like, how old is he supposed to be? 13, 14, 15, something like that. So I'm always like really amused by
he's an atrocious character.
By kids that swear a lot. And this kid just like swears all like a lot. And I thought that was funny. But I think like when you first meet him, like at the airport or whatever, he's like, haven't you heard? I'm fucked up. You know what I mean? And I was like, all right.
They want him to be kind of like the kids from The Lost Boys. All right.
Well, Lost Boys came out the same year as this.
Yeah, they're trying to get it. I don't know. They probably weren't copying. I'm just saying that's what they wanted. Something like out of Lost Boys or something kind of like the kid from T2. He was supposed to be a cool kid.
or the kid from Near Dark, which also came out the same year as this. So the, right there, there's two much better vampire movies.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a cool kid. But the way they directed him and his acting and shit, he just comes off... There's nothing redeeming about him.
He's really, really obnoxious.
He's just obnoxious,
I mean, his dad is obnoxious, too.
Yeah.
But his dad's far less obnoxious. And to be honest, it's like, if that was my kid, I would want to, like, fucking punt that kid across the fucking state.
His dad's just like a, like a fucking bumbling idiot. Just, you know, totally fucking ineffectual... helpless fucking beta.
He just seems like he doesn't know what he's what's going on most of the time.
Just beta as fuck, you know.
He doesn't know what's going
and
on.
The Jewish dude eventually shows up, and he's in his broken down jalopy, and fucking, he's basically, you can tell, I instantly recognize what's going on. He's playing Columbo. Like, he's investigating, but you can tell that he's doing a Columbo impersonation. You didn't notice that?
It did seem like
that's
that,
what he's doing Columbo.
That guy is a film director in his own right, actually. Samuel Fuller is his name.
Yeah, he shows up and the movie kind of picks up because...
Like I said, he's... Yeah, I was like, oh, thank God the movie saved.
Right.
This guy's here.
They got a real character in here. He's beating on the kid and shit. It's fucking hilarious. twisting the kid's
was,
fucking ear and shit. Child abuse, bitch. Child abuse. And he's like, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. This is how you control him.
Yeah, he like
he's teaching the dad
it's like
how
he's,
to control
it's
the
it's like a cat picking it, like a mother cat picking up a kitten, like to get the scruff of the neck, and the kid's like, ugh!
Yeah.
And it like it immobilizes him, and I'm like, nice.
Yeah, so. So the Jewish dude's totally unacceptable too, but he's like the fucking the only redeeming quality because at least he's got fucking balls and he's funny. All right, fucking shooting guns and shit and shooting vampires in the head,
which works.
Yeah, it
I
works.
Guess.
Yeah, it works. And there's the only that he had one scene where he steps into the vampires put a bear trap at the bottom of the steps and it was a huge bear trap. With interlocking teeth on it, all right? And that thing was a fucking... Bear traps are not that big. I don't know where these people get that idea. You could catch an elephant with that shit.
That's what I was just saying.
That would have taken an elephant's foot off.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's just something that the prop department made or something. Because I was like, man, that would have chomped that dude's leg right off.
Yeah.
Fucking, you know what I mean? People don't know how that shit works.
He just shook it off like, oh.
Yeah, and then he's running around, okay, yeah. I was like, dude, that would have cut right through that fucking tibia. You know?
That happens a lot in movies, I feel like. Like, somebody just gets, like, shot in the shoulder or something like that. They're just like, I'm fine. I'm just going to shake it off.
Just a flesh wound. Just a flesh wound.
They're, like, running around and stuff. I'm like, you probably shouldn't run because that makes your blood pump faster. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Like, from a medical point of view.
There was only one believable shot to a dude who just shook it off, and that was in The Thing. Remember when the Norwegians jumped out of the helicopter and the guy had that HK-556 assault rifle and he shoots that one dude with the beard in the leg and he falls down and Mac runs by and gives him a fucking bottle of whiskey and just keeps on running? Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
And he's sitting there drinking whiskey like that, and he was fucking crying and bitching and moaning, and then later on they show him in the infirmary. And they're going, oh, come on, it barely grazed you. It's a it's a 3-inch cut. It just barely broke the skin. You know, they go, oh, it's killing me, you know. That was the only one that was believable.
You know how
5.56 hits you in the meat, especially back in those days, those little fucking 55-grain bullets that they used, they exploded. Fucking reduce them, put a piece of hamburger in you the size of a fucking baseball. That's what the damage looked like. And if it hits bone, it just shatters bone. That shit was fucking devastating. All that stuff is. So when I laugh when they show movies, dudes just getting hit. Oh, it's just a flesh wound, you know, shaking it off, you know. It just went through the meat and then have full mobility afterwards. Shit.
Yeah, it's like that's not how that works.
You know, puts you in a world of hurt. A world of hurt.
Trey says, oh, Lord, this movie was a real riot. Yeah. I could not believe it when I saw it.
Yeah.
A for sure are they serious type thing for me. I'm just kind of like, it's one of those movies where if you're into like so bad it's good movies, then it's like so what the fuck that you might find it entertaining. Because some people do. Like some people have, it's like a guilty pleasure kind of movie.
The movie is Josh and you. It's definitely Josh.
It knows
it's fucked up.
It was almost kind of like, it's just so weird. Like the tone of it is so weird. There's so much stuff going on. Like I said, there's good... ideas in there, but it almost seems like, and this got a theatrical release, like a limited theatrical release, yeah. albeit, but
ridiculous.
Yeah, this like, this went into theaters and I was just kind of like, I don't know how much it cost to make. It didn't say on the Wikipedia page, maybe like $1.98 or so.
More but, than that, it had a big cast.
It
had a pretty big
well,
cast.
Well, I'm just, I'm. It's called hyperbole. I'm making a joke.
They spent money on it.
But, well, like I said, I don't know how much. One of the weirdest things that happens early on, because you know this is an 80s movie, so you know they have to have like the bad, you know, druggy punk rocker characters.
Yeah.
So... You get, it's, yeah, it's, I don't know why this, like, stuck out to me, but, so this town's full of vampires. It's all vampires, or they're human, they call them drones, like, the humans that have to, like, watch over them and blah, blah, blah. But apparently, some people do kind of, like, randomly drive through there sometimes, and sometimes the vampires will snack on them, but sometimes not. So this car goes through the town, and there's, was like, three punk rockers or something like that, and, like, the cops pull them over, and then they, like, start eating the one. And the one girl that's in there that actually gets away, but then she gets eaten later on. What the fuck was her deal? Like, I know she was supposed to be high and everything, but has she ever been high in her life? Because that's not a high person.
Yeah.
That what she was doing was not a high person. I'm sure it looked like a mental patient.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what she was doing. Like, that weird thing she was doing when she was talking about the talent of Salem's Lot. It's like, it's a cursed Salem's Lot or something. Like, I'm just like, what the fuck?
I don't
fuck?
Know. I was actually just
are you
to,
doing?
I was trying to
stop
actually,
it immediately.
I was actually trying to block that character out.
I mean, she wasn't in it that long. Yeah. Well, she was in it too long, frankly. But she was only in it for a couple minutes, and then she got eaten by, like, some of the other vampires. But that was the weird thing, too, is, like, the vampires made, like, a big deal, like, when they were trying to, like, schmooze Michael Moriarty to, like, write their Bible or whatever. And they're like, yeah, we want to integrate into human society, and we want you to write it so people can understand us because we've been around all this time, and, like, we're older than humans and blah, blah, blah. And we don't even eat humans anymore, except on occasion. But they eat so many people in this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who the fuck are you trying to kid? Look, we're just drinking from cows, you know? It's like, and we don't even kill the cows. That's better than what you guys do. Like, you guys chop them up and make the hamburgers out of them. Stuff like that. So
they got the school all rigged up to teach the vampire children how evil humans are. That's pretty cool.
I did like that. I liked that. I mean, I like the idea. I like that idea of, like, a little town that's all vampire, and they have their own culture.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's pretty neat. And like I said, I think True Blood kind of did a similar thing, like, later on, like, that TV series. But, so that's a great idea, but I kind of feel like it was just, it couldn't decide if it wanted to be a horror movie or if it wanted to be a comedy, and it ended up being, like, neither. You know what I mean? Like, it's not scary, and it's not all that funny. Like, there was a couple lines in it that were funny, that were supposed to be funny, but a lot of it was just kind of cringy. I found it very cringy. And I couldn't even really... Normally, this kind of stuff, I'd have, like, a good time with it, but I don't know. Maybe I was just tired and crabby, and I was just kind of like... I was like, I can't even... It just seemed like... interminable. Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's not even that long of a movie, but it seemed like 5 hours long. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe it was just because I was sleepy and I didn't really feel like watching it.
Just wasn't executed real well.
It really wasn't. It just seems like
it's choppy in quality.
It's very thrown together. Yeah. And it's weird because, like, some of the special effects, like, some of the vampire makeup, like, especially, like, later on, some when they start, like, you know, burning everything up and everything, like, some of the makeup looked pretty good. But then, like, when you had the main vampire, like, who was the judge, right? I don't even remember. Like, the judge, and then he would vamp out. He just looked like, it just looked like rubber face.
Yeah.
And I don't really get... I mean, you could watch this, just don't... If you watch it as not a Salem's Lot sequel...
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeffy Art.
Yeah.
Fun, silly fact. As a Jersey boy, I recognized the airport in the beginning, which is Newark International.
Hmm.
That's really funny. I don't know if I could... I haven't been in... I mean, I've been in airports, but I don't think that I've been in airports enough times to, like, recognize them in a movie if I just saw, like, part of it. But... So there's that. Because they all kind of look very similar. But I don't know. It's just, I'm not telling people not to watch it, but there's a reason why
people don't talk about
People don't talk about it. That's why, in a way, that's kind of why I was curious, because I was kind of like, I had totally forgotten that there had even been a sequel to Salem's Lot. And then I just saw it when I was scrolling the other day, and I'm like, oh, I should probably watch that. I think I even put it in the Patreon poll, but it didn't win. And then I was just kind of like, well, let's watch it. It's probably, like, pretty fun or something. And I don't know. It just, it wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be.
No, they messed up some stuff. They messed up the way the vampires looked. It wasn't scary. The casting for the vampires was bad. They were just nondescript vampires, just old people, basically.
Yeah, it's just...
That's not what you want for a vampire.
There really didn't seem to be any menace or danger.
Nope.
You know what I mean? It was just kind of like they take annoying Jeremy away for a time, and they're trying to indoctrinate him, I guess, or make him into a vampire by using a very, very young Tara Reid. Obviously, this was maybe her first movie. She was a kid in this. She was like a little kid. And so she's kind of like seducing the boy and trying to like, and he's just like, hey, I think that's a good idea. I think I'd like to be a vampire. And he doesn't want to leave the town.
Yeah.
And then Michael Moriarty is kind of like going back and forth about it. It's like, well, maybe I'll stay and write the Bible, or maybe this isn't good and I should take my son and get the fuck out of here. But he just like equivocates like so much that you're just kind of like, what? But like I said, you never really feel like the vampires are all that threatening.
No.
Even though they do eat people, even though they expressly say that they don't, but they do, but they're still not scary.
Yeah.
Like, you never feel like, oh shit, we really got to get out of here because we're like in danger. Yeah. So I don't know. The best thing about it is the Nazi killer guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
he doesn't make it the movie worth watching.
He doesn't make it worth watching, no. But as soon as he showed up and started quipping and doing the stuff, I was like, oh, okay, thank God. Like, the movie saved, like, something interesting is happening.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I just couldn't get into it. But it's kind of one of those movies that it's pretty terrible, so it's amusing in a terrible way, but I don't think I was in the right frame. I wasn't, like, in the mood.
I remembered what movie it was reminded me of, and it was mostly because of the damn mask. Troll. Troll 2.
Yeah.
It's like a troll. It's not that level. Just happens to be in a...
God, it's as weird as that.
Yeah.
Like, where you're just thinking, what were they thinking, like, with the concept?
Yeah.
Like I said, the concept of this one isn't that weird. It's just that there's two concepts, like, with the Nazi killer guy, and then that could have been two separate decent movies, but the fact that they're both mashed into one movie... And there's no continuity and no narrative. It doesn't really make any narrative sense.
Mm-mm.
Like, either one of the things. Like, they don't overlap, like, those two stories or anything like that. But I don't know.
And it's not much of a good vampire survival movie either. Because it doesn't seem like that there's any threat from the damn vampires. They just run around killing them like it's easy. It's just...
Yeah, that's another thing. It's just kind of like when they decide, oh, okay, we should get the fuck out of here and we'll kill the vampires. Then they just wait till they're sleeping and just stake them all. Yeah. And then they're just like, whoop, and then they just burn the whole town down and they're just like, bye.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, okay. Well, Kaylon Higgins says, I've only ever read the Salem's Lot novel. I didn't even know there was a series of films, too. Well, there was a TV miniseries from 1979,
which was
directed by Tobe Hooper. Yeah. And I think it was like two or three parts like on TV in 1979. And that's actually really, really good. I like that a lot.
There's a lot of differences with the books, though, from what I remember.
Yeah, there are.
Like, Mr. Barlow doesn't talk in the movie. But it's almost kind of the way it's filmed. It's better that he doesn't talk because he's keeps spooky looking.
I like that he doesn't talk. Yeah. I mean, I know he talks in the book, but you can get away with shit in the book. Like I said, you can get away with shit in the book.
If you haven't seen the TV series, see it. I got it on DVD. It's good.
Yeah, and it's like pretty easy. Shudder has it. Like, it's all over the place. Like,
I think it's probably 3 hours, maybe 4 hours.
It might be longer than that. Yeah. I'm thinking... I can't remember if it was over two nights, so maybe it's 4 hours or maybe.
There's two of them. There's one from the 70s, and then there's another one, I think, from the 90s, the 2000s. We're talking about the one from the 70s.
The 70s.
The old one.
Yeah. I don't even remember. Did they make another one in the 90s?
I don't know.
I think they've been talking about remaking it.
I think they made another one in the 90s.
I think they're doing another one that's coming out this year. I don't know if it's a movie or if it's a series. Somebody mentioned it earlier. I kind of feel like Salem's Lot kind of needs a series. Because a lot goes on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, Samantha Bee said this sounds terrible. It is terrible.
Yes, man.
It is terrible. It's, like I said, it's, I don't know if it's worth watching. Some people seem to like it just for how terrible it is. Nobody thinks it's a good movie.
Yeah.
But it's all down to your, you know, how willing are you to put up with bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, to just watch it. And don't think that it has anything to do with, like, the original Salem's Lot book or movie or anything like that. Other than it taking place in that town.
Yeah, it's shoehorned into that.
And yeah, that's yeah, and they bring it up a bunch of times. But other than that, there's like nothing that ties it to the other stuff, and it doesn't have any. Like I said, it doesn't have any continuity with like the original story. So you know,
I'm gonna have to get down there and start getting to work.
Okay, Danny Rowling said I'd rather watch this instead of Maximum Overdrive all day and night. Ooh, that's a hard one. I'd probably take Maximum Overdrive just because that one is even more stupid, and ridiculous. So I think it's more entertaining. This one's ridiculous and terrible, but I don't think it's quite as over the top and
I'd
stupid.
I heard that The Langoliers was the worst one.
The Langoliers is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember. I remember a couple of things in it being like kind of like really stupid, but I don't remember anything that really stood out to me like, oh my God, that was like epically stupid and I kind of want to see it again. Like, you know what I mean? Because there's that kind of thing. The Langoliers, I remember just being kind of boring. Like boring shading into terrible.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas Maximum Overdrive is just like a really big, stupid movie, but it's fun, kind of. Like, for how big and stupid and loud it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this one is just kind of, meh. I didn't love it. I didn't love it. Zach says, do y'all remember this Pet Sematary sequel? Vaguely. I vaguely remember that. All right, so Tom's got to go downstairs and make some pizza.
Yeah, I got to make something for us to eat. So we got movies we got to watch tonight.
Yeah, we got to watch a long one tonight. Yeah. So, so it's Tuesday. So tomorrow night is our main show, and I'm sure everybody would be very excited. I'm very excited to do the show. But we're going to do kind of like scandals and legends of old Hollywood. So we're going to maybe talk about like Mae West, maybe some of Clark Gable, Charlie Chaplin, like stuff like that. Like all kind of like scandals that went on back in the golden era of Hollywood. I got to poke through and see which ones I want to talk about, because I know we did an old Hollywood, like scandals of old Hollywood thing before. Like we talked about Natalie Wood and stuff like that. So we're not going to repeat any of the same stuff, but I'm going to like talk about some other things on there. So hopefully you guys can come by and see us tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And thanks, everybody, for super chats and for hanging out. And we will see you guys again tomorrow evening. Bye.